I'm gonna be on Psalms.
For to start, yes, 51. Thank you, Lord. You know how important it is for believers to come into the house of God and just release all the loss and the baggage that sometimes we carry. And just lift up our hands and praise the name of Jesus. I truly believe that when we honestly open up to that, you are right in the presence of God. You are right in the throne. You are right there, right next to his chest, to his feet. Because we are people made to experience things, to acknowledge things. Thank you, babe. To not only to experience and acknowledge, but also to reaffirm one another that the way that God made us is to share, to feel, to share and to give. See, share is one thing, and to give is without any type of agendas. You can share with somebody something that you can learn in life, a task or something. You can share with anybody something that was passed on to you. But when you give it, you don't take it back. It's a conditional giving. So we've been speaking about God's love. You know, we want to restart the series that God gave me to speak with you guys. And the title was Sincere Love is Full of Compassion for Everyone. This is week three. This is the second week, right? But sincere love is full of compassion. What is love? You know, a lot of people looks at it different ways, and people who has a little bit of education, they look at things differently. Oh, this is what love is. Jesus. So others says, you know what, that's what you feel. Others says, no, that's what you give. Or that's what you receive. There is a variety of things for people to understand this word. You know, some people says it's because you've been chosen, you've been set apart. Other people says it's because of this or because of that. But when we look at one of the attributes of God, and we mention that he is holy, he's righteous, his continence, people cannot fathom, cannot take a, you know, try to understand how good God is, how awesome God is, how lovely God is, his compassion and merciful, he just keep him embalming you with it, no matter what. And I give you guys a verse to memorize. You know, because I'm memo and I rise. <You know? laughs> Had to break the ice, guys. You know, but in Leviticus 11:44-45, it reads, "For I am the Lord your God. You should therefore consecrate yourselves." See, that's the word. It's different to be set apart. It's about that you make with God, that you're going to be standing on the righteousness of God. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to commit myself to you. And I said this, brothers and sisters, because there is a lot of issues about the word holy. And when you set apart, it's one thing. When you consecrate yourself, it's similar. Righteousness and love. Justice and sanctification, all these things, they come together. You cannot separate them one from the other. You cannot love and hate like the song says. It's not possible. Right. You either love or you hate.
Right.
Either one or the other. And so when we speak, when I share this word, you guys, I want you to understand. And you know, for those who are scholars or has a little bit of knowledge about the ancient language, it's Kadesh and Kadosh, two different things. Kadosh is God is holy. That's the word Kadosh. Kadesh is set apart. Different things. God has consecrated himself to share himself with you and to give of him to you. All of it without holding back. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive all the gifts of God. Amen. The fullness of God is dwelling in you. So the holiness of God is a completeness of all things. That's why he says it is finished. It's done. That's how holy our God is. Even Jordan was quoting yesterday on Isaiah. Even the air rejoices with its contents. The marvelous God that when they say the seraphim says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Even the earth rejoices. You know, understands, creation understands what humanity sometimes lack. Can you guys believe that? That even the rocks, if we stay quiet without praising the Lord, even the rocks will sing to him? Just imagine how God is, how holy he is. He consecrated himself to give himself of him to you without any type of agenda. All you have to do is believe in the name of his son and you shall be saved. That's all it is. So it's two different words, Kadosh and Kadesh, two different things. And so this is to say, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves. Hallelujah. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You should give yourself as a pouring offering, as I am pouring myself to you. As a pouring, as a, you know, when he says to offer yourself, that's what he meant. That you want to give yourself. Oh, no, I just want to love him when he loves me. I just want to love her when she loves me. Man, when she pisses me off, I'm going to be mad at her. Easy, tiger. That's how people reason. Unfortunately, it's not like a lot of people says, marriage is 50-50. Who tell you that people lie? It's 100 and 100. You have to pour yourself out and give yourself out wholly without holding back. And listen, you don't have to expect nothing back. When you give, you just bless the person that you give. You don't have to be, I want to slay you and you have to pay me back. You don't do that. When you give, you give. If they bring it back, praise the Lord. If they don't, praise the Lord.
That's right, amen.
You keep on going. But we're sometimes, especially the group of believers, brothers, we're materialistic folks. It's my money and I want it now. I don't want to wait on that. If you wait 3 minutes, you give me the food for free. I have rights. And yeah, you have rights and lefts too. I know that. Listen, we must recognize or acknowledge our sinful nature before God and God alone. Amen. We must recognize that. See, because we're going to speak about, I found this point of God's love or God's compassion more times on the Old Testament when a lot of believers and a lot of brothers with good intentions refers God of the Old Testament, God of wrath, God of war, God that destroys people, God, the God who kills, you know, the prophet prayed for the bird to eat those kids and they got eaten. You know, not understanding what God is doing. In the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, is full of God's love. The prophets are crying out for people to hear out, to listen how good God is. But people just focus about how many nations he swipe off and how many people the air open his mouth and eating because they were disobeying him. And they picture a God that is not good news. Or it's not gospel. Because God, that's what gospel means, good news. Amen. That's what it means. So when the King David said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. For those who are, we understand how righteous God is. How holy he is. We cannot approach him without acknowledging our sin before him. Because when you acknowledge your sin, he showers you with compassion. And that's what I want to read today on Psalm 51 to you really quick. Let's go to Psalm 51. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you're putting upon your servant's heart, Father. We might, the same way that you feel me and made me feel your presence, Lord, all these weeks, Lord, I pray for the same blessing upon my brothers and sisters here today, Lord God. Fill them, Father. Refill them with your Holy Spirit. May their cup be overflowing, God. Full of mercy and truth. And may you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalms 51, verse 1 to 19. I want to read it because, you know, I know that me and Matt, we took a long time to the introduction. And, you know, before we know, the clock started walking so fast. I don't know why we do that, but well. And then we sometimes fall not completely wanting to share what we want to share. So, verse 1, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. I'm reading from the New King James. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. Listen, okay? Blot out my transgressions. I acknowledge my sin. Doesn't matter how Christian you are. Doesn't matter the title that you hold on ministry. A lot of people want to put your hats of apostle or prophet, you know, or evangelist or pastor or teacher. A lot of people want to adorn people to receive praises from people. And it's a temptation for every minister here on earth to say, yeah, I am the pastor. I am the apostle. I'm the doctor, Guillermo Flores. You know what? It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is. It is what is inside, what the Lord is looking at. You can be pretending and putting out an act, keeping all the appearance of a godly man or a godly woman. But if inside is rotten, wants to nothing. See, you might be escaping as one burning the soils of their feet, because everything that you do is going to be tested. Every intention of your heart, the Lord knows. I was telling my wife how beautiful my God is. If I go to the cave, he's there. If I go to the deepest part of the ocean, he's there. If I go to the upper mountains, he's there. But yet he's not in the earthquake. And yet he's not here, he's not there. He's omnipresence. And I cannot hide my sinful nature before him. But I acknowledge this, please, Lord, blot out my transgressions. See, listen to the heart of the compassion of this man speaking to us. I've been telling you guys for quite some time, David was not just a king. He was a prophet of the Lord. God chose him. He brought these big brothers, nice-looking dudes. And he chose the little skinny red-haired guy. Troublemaker, sheep carrier. You know, the most rejected one. He chose the rejected one to do great things for the kingdom of Israel. He's chosen you. He's selecting you. I just read to you, he is consecrating you. It's different than being set apart. You're making a vow, and I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm consecrating myself to you so that you can do whatever you want with me. Amen. I'm here. Amen. I hear your message, and I want to speak. You guys see that how beautiful, how he humble, he levels everybody up. You guys know the scripture, when you humble yourself, he will exalt you. That's how beautiful it is. That's why I'm trying to communicate. You know, I select a series because I want to continue speaking of these things about how beautiful is the compassion. Imagine without the compassion of God towards humanity, where we will be? And he's so righteous that he's waiting. He hasn't come back just yet because he's waiting for people to come into repentance. Not only the believers, the unbelievers, but also the believers. Because when we put the hat, I was sharing with some folks yesterday, and we put the, I am the Holy of Holies. Well, you know, I have this crown, I'm the Holy of Holies. Kiss me. It's just putting up on that. Exercising an authority that was given to you, but not to overlord people, but to humble yourself and understand how great God is, so that others can come to the same understanding. Amen. That there is no male nor female, no pastor, no none of that stuff. We are one. I understand the order of God, because God is not a God of disorder. But every sermon that has a hat of apostleship or a prophet or any type of those authority is given by God, they all will humble themselves that they're, because we're all working together,
right,
equipping the saints for every good work. Amen. That's the whole matter of being set, you know, I selected you to be the minister of the church. And the minister, okay, Lord, but I know I'm nothing. So the ministers put the people first,
amen,
than himself. But in a lot of churches, the ministry is first. The parking lot of Lady, I was going to say something else, but
First Lady.
You know, and they cannot park on that space because that belongs to the pastor.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? And people love to receive praises of people. That's what the scripture says, you guys. And you know what? And it's okay for people to want to receive the praise of people, because when the people desires that, they already have received their reward.
That's right.
That's what the scripture teaches. I'd rather receive his reward.
Amen.
You know, the reward of people. I love you guys a whole lot, but I'm concentrating on him. So let's go to verse 2. Wash me. Hallelujah. Not just portion. You know what Peter says? Not only my feet, Lord, but my whole being. Peter wanted to take a shower with the Lord. And the Lord just wanted to clean his feet. But he understood. Listen, what? Imagine the people knowing the scriptures who was walking with Jesus, the 12, understanding all this. And as he spoke, conviction hit. And he says, no, not only my feet, Lord, but also my body, my whole being. Wash me thoroughly. Or acknowledge our sinful nature before, I'm sorry, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge him, Lord, but I know you're the only one can do this. I can speak to the bones and say, bones, rise up and live. Because I believe those ones who are dying will rise up and be alive again. I want you guys, I'm quoting now from Prophet Ezekiel. A lot of people in the church is dying. And there is the power, the apostle trying to brothers and sisters, rise up and live. Understand that God gave his life so you can have life in abundance. Why are you keeping the cloud of heaviness and the big old load and I cannot no more? Why are you anchoring yourself back down when the battle has been won? Why you want to keep walking as a person struggling with certain things that is over and over, and then you do the same thing over and over, expecting a different reaction upon things? Instead of just believing and walking, Lord, this is yours, and I'm not picking that up no more. Forgive my transgressions. I know I fail you. I know I'm a sinful man. But I know that you can cleanse me.
Amen.
Check this out, you guys, because for the Jewish people, if you were having leprosy, you were not allowed to be near him because he was spiritually unclean. They were rejected. David was rejected. But God has selected him. He understood the rejection of those ones who struggles with the same thing as he did. And he says, cleanse me, Lord. Because in order for that, for a leper to be cured, they needed to go to certain rituals. And they will be cleansed. And the Lord sends someone, let's go. Now go show yourself to the high priest over there and tell me who killed you. And only one leper came back out of the 10. Cleanse me, Lord. I know I was dealing with rejection, but now you have accepted me. And I know that I'm cleansed. Now I have a father who never fails. Now I have, for those ones like myself who grew up without a dad, now we have a dad who will never reject you or will never leave you nor forsake you. That's how deep this goes. Listen to verse 3. It says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. I know, Lord. Listen, okay? Against you, hallelujah, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. that you might be found just when you speak. I know that you're justifiable. I know that you justify me. I know that you're righteous and just. And when you speak, listen, and blameless when you judge. I'm acknowledging, I'm accepting it, I'm cleansing, I'm clinging to you, Lord, because I know I'm going to fail. Listen to the next verse. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desired truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. I know, Lord, if I just shout, Lord, forgive me because I have sinned, and it's just for me to put an act in front of you. He goes to the inside. When I call upon the name of God, I left my body and I saw myself living. I understood the glory of God. I was in the presence of the Most High God. And I understood what David is crying out in here. I acknowledge my transgressions. I ask him to forgive me. He did. So he goes to the inner part because I saw myself leaving the house. I was over there and the pastor was praying for that guy. They were anointing him. But I was out of myself. I don't know where I was, but I know where I was. I didn't want to come back. But I saw me when they were laying hands on me, putting oil on my head. And they were asking me, what did you saw? What did you saw? And I wasn't there. I was in another place. Then you understand these things. Same things with the apostles and the beginners of followers of Jesus Christ. They knew these scriptures. They knew these things. They were expecting this new beginning, this new opportunity. The King, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to show up. And David is looking ahead, seeing these things happening, listening to what he's going to say. Behold, I was brought for iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desired truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Push me with a high hyssop. Yes, and I shall be clean. You know what he's saying? I know through your blood. You're going to put blood in the doorpost with the hyssop branch. And I know the angel of death is going to pass through. It's not going to come to me. Cleanse me with her, Lord. I don't want to be mortal no more. I want to be immortal. I want to go to that realm where you took me when I first believed upon you. I want to stay there. And I want to proclaim this good news, what I saw, to everybody who has an ear to hear. Because that's the good news. That's consecrating yourself to serve the all God Almighty. Listen what it says in there. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. I didn't know that Francis was going to bring that song. That's how the Spirit works, you guys. Make me hear, hallelujah. Make me hear joy and gladness. That's why the apostle, yes, consider all things a joy when you face trials and tribulations. How can I do that? Don't you see what I'm going through? Yes, I do. How can I have that joy? How can I hear that? Listen, God is there in the mix of all. He's going to walk you through it. You just need to cling to him and let you wash you whiter than the snow. He wants you to understand this thing because, listen, may me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Verse 9 says, hide your face from my sins, hallelujah, and blot out all my iniquities. Listen, okay? And this song, this verse, everybody, a lot of people knows the verse, created me, oh God. See, I know who I was. I know what I have done before you, and before only against you and you alone I have sinned. But listen, God, I messed up once more. This is probably like several times that David messed up. He says, great in me, God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. Remind me of what you have done, steadfast spirit within me. Listen, okay, do not cast me away from your presence. Imagine the holiness. I was telling my wife on the way over here, man, these brothers on the Old Testament only experienced the glory of God like rain. And you guys have it 24/7. Amen. The same glory that Moses wanted to be able to see. You have it 24/7. That's how accessible God is. Before all this was revealed, you know, he was holding back for this very purpose of you and I. The same way that he selected Jacob posterior Esau, like the Bible says, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate. See, when I told you that God gave me to study the book of Obadiah, it's for this reason, for this series, and the one we just finished. One chapter full of God's love in the book of Obadiah. That's why you know, see, Esau or another people knew him as Edom, the Edomites. And a lot of people think, how can God love and hate? No, he's saying that he approved Jacob and changed his name to Israel. And Esau, he used it as a vessel for us to understand. He also blessed him, as you have no idea. Years later, he says, I want to erase all the Edomites because they continue going against me. So there is a son or a brother who understood God and said, okay, Lord, I recognize that you're not that you got my hip all crooked. Now I know that you're God.
I felt that before.
You know, the broken bone. That's what David is saying. The broken bone. Make me rejoice that again. Amen. See? But Esau was blessed beyond. So it's a lot of people, I was telling some brothers, when you get there, brother, don't forget that it's the Lord who bless you.
Amen.
That's when we have to acknowledge. Now when things are going, you know, it's when you are up on the hill, when you're down in the valley, he leveled things up. To praise. You know, like Job says, and I will stay, say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what this scripture is all about. Do not cast me away from my presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors. I see you. That's the beauty of I'm over here. I don't know about you guys, but I'm over here like fire coming through my bones. Because I want to remind you guys of that day that you were safe. And I want to teach my brothers about that day. See, this is what it says. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's my hope. I want you to understand that the first step is to acknowledge that. Like you have for sure, like David did and I do. But man, when you cry out to God, cleanse me, O God. Restore me the joy of my salvation. The day when I first walked in and said, Lord, you are my God. I was against you, but now I'm going to be walking with you. And as you know, you start walking with him, knowing that even if you go through the shallow of the valley, that you will not fear no evil. You want to walk through it because the Lord is upholding you with his right hand. He's holding you right there. He have you. He's waiting for you just to get to see him, you know, the way that he is. Right now we're just experiencing the glory of God. It's called grace. And it's called truth. That's all it is in the Gospels. But if we're not cautious, we're going to be like the prophets of old or like the Pharisees of old. Oh, you gotta do this and you gotta do that and all these other things and all this other stuff. And you should do. But it's not about what you do. It's the inner part. But he looks at me and he approves you. He will never reject you. When you cry out like this man did in here, like I do every single day, you understand that God has your back. Listen what it says in there. Deliver me from the guilt. Deliver me from the guilt. I was sharing with some brothers and with my wife. I had a vision about my daughter, my oldest daughter. And she's on the perch of a cliff. But her little short body has turned into a statue. She's not moving. And she's about to be pushed. And I'm dying to go and awake her. And that says, wait. And then she gets pushed. And she falls to the ground. She was not broken. But her eyes was looking at me like, are you going to do something about this? And I said, I asked the Lord, what does this mean, God? I want you to acknowledge that I am He. You cannot fix her. I'm going to fix her. But sometimes we as parents, we want to fix things up. We don't want our kids to go through things. But sometimes you just have to let them be. Imagine you as a dad looking at your baby being pushed to the cliff. His reaction is like, oh, heck no. I'll go catch her. But sometimes we're in the way of God. We walking on and stopping Him from doing what He's planning to do for somebody because of our own way of thinking, our own way of reasoning. Oh, I don't agree with this. Oh, I don't agree with that. Oh, this isn't that. And God's just like, you guys, your world, just let me be God. I'll deal with the matter. It's all good. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? And I share it with my wife. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're just going to let things be according to what God revealed to me. And when she gets back up, we're going to be there once more and once more and once more. You know why? Because God told me that's exactly what you do to me when I'm trying to make you walk in such way. So God uses the circumstances of our daily walk to teach us. But it's up to you. You want to pay attention. So when He says, restore to me, verse 12, the joy of your salvation. That's what for us to be reminded of. When we were broken, crying out to God to forgive us. You was just like your daughter. You were just like your father. You was just like anybody that you are coming against or might be judging of their matters. You were just like them. Or maybe you're just like them. Just in a different side of the coin, but it's the same. It's a sinful thinking. Sin is sin. No matter how big the sin is. When you acknowledge that my actions is a sinful thought, it's a sin. We can adorn and say, oh, but I am right because I learned this way. I understand this way. But still a sin. Are you coming against your daughter? Still a sin. Or your daughter is coming against you. Still a sin. You coming against your brother. Still a sin. No matter what is right. When we exercise our rights, then we get in them. The mix of God. What God is doing or wanting to do. That's what He shared with me on my vision with my daughter. Deliver me from the guilt of blushing. So when it's not only the people that He has slaughtered. When God has justified one of your brothers. And sanctify them. And you still go with your own highways. It's my way or the highway. You're killing people. Innocent blood. Woe to the men who rush their face to go and spill innocent blood. That's how I was telling my wife on the way here to the people of the Old Testament. They have it a little easier than us. To us, the bar was raised. Higher than the guys from the Old Testament. Although in the Old Testament we had the word of compassion more times than the New Testament. And I was wondering, I found it kind of interesting. How come in the Old Testament I found the word of compassion more than in the New Testament when the New Testament is about love? So if I don't understand compassion, I don't know how to love. truly love. So it's that, it's through the compassion that God poured upon my heart that I'm speaking in love to one another. I ask the Lord, how many of you, Lord, use me as your vessel. I want to speak of your love, your compassion. I understand that you're just. I get it. And I pray that when I speak, Lord, this what I'm going to read, it speaks to me. It speaks to my voice the way that you spoke to me. Because I understand how just you are. Deliver me from guilt of blood. Blessed, O God, the God of my salvation. Just in case he wants to be reminded of his own self. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. I will get it. Listen, okay? Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. What are he saying? I don't want your so-called Christianity or Christianist stuff. I don't want that. I don't want you to be so focused about your traditions that this is the way we run this and that. I don't want that. If you want to spill innocent blood, I want to hold you accountable for it. That's how deep this goes. Listen what it says in here. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. My wife, I was sharing with Matt, she wanted to record because, you know, you guys know that I pray at night. And during I was so exhausted and I didn't finish my prayer on my choir room. So I went to my bed. But I took my prayer with me. And I was so excited that I went out. But my spirit was still praying. I don't recall this. That is my witness. But Francis said that she wanted to record because she heard a bunch of stuff that she never heard of. My spirit rejoices whether I'm asleep, whether I'm awake, wherever I am. I'm praying for all of you and my kids and other brothers. People that God has brought into my path to minister to. For many years back, I started remembering a lot of names. And I started praying for everybody. And so the hours went by. I remember going back to bed. It was like 3:42. And I crashed. And I got to get up at 5:15 to go to work. But I was still praying. My wife said, you was praying in different languages. Spanish, English, I don't know what else. And I wanted to record you. This is the second time. The last one she shared with Kathy when that happens to me. You're exhausted and you're interceding in the spirit unto God for your beloved ones. Pouring out your love, pouring out your heart unto God to say you have the control, Lord. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You want to please the Lord? Listen what it says in here. A broken and a contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise. He just wants people to love each other. To understand the compassion of God. That you are so guilty of doing wrong. You are walking in such a way that you are not glorifying your living God. The God who died and rose again on the third day so that you can have his life. In life in abundance. To enjoy this time here on earth with your brothers. How beautiful are the gathering of the saints gathering together in the house of the Lord. Praising songs to God. That's what God desires. Because we're one or two gathered together, I'm there in the mix. I'm right with them. Are you not alone? The Lord is with you. And all the areas, whether you are in the earthquake or in the mountain, in the cape, on the ocean, on the air, wherever you are, God is with you. Do good, verse 18. In your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. I cry out to you, God, and I'm interceding for my brothers. I know that you have made a promise to Zion, but I'm speaking the Zion from above, the Jerusalem from above, your people, not the one below, the one from above, where the Ark of the Covenant is. Remind me of that, Lord. Because I know we carry you the Ark of the Covenant with me, and we want to put it in a beast palace and all this other stuff, but I'm talking about the real one. Remember when I shared with you that David was a prophet too? Man, when we study God's word and you go deeper, you get to go to the deepest part of the scriptures to comprehend why he's crying out like this. Because he was praying for you and me. You are the true Jerusalem. You are the true Zion. That is going to come with him when he returns with his father. And his. Listen what it says on verse 18. Do good in your good pleasure. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Wait a minute. He doesn't like that now. You need to understand to bring it with a righteous heart. The burnt offering. What is the burnt offering? A bowl of prayers. Offered unto God. According to Revelation. Interceding. What represents the bulls on the altar? You guys see that? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So the priest of back then used to do it every once more and once more and once more. And Jesus Christ came and did it once and for all. It was an invitation for people to understand what God was going to do, what God was doing, and what God is going to do when he comes. It's always like that on the scriptures, especially speaking of prophecy. Point number two, God will have compassion upon us to see him for who he is. You want to experience the glory of God? When I share with you that you have it 24/7, is an honest, true statement. Back then, people would come to the glory of God, to the bush or to the places in particular moments. When he came down and then he rose up, he sent him who used to minister to the old prophets. He sent the angel of the Lord to minister to you and me. That's why I've been trying to cry out to you guys. I haven't seen the Lord, so be called an apostle. Not to, yes, I have. Did you see him physically? No, but I know who he is. So there is, because a lot of people trips about, there is no more apostles. There is no more prophets. Then take care of the Bible then. There is no more apostles, more prophets, or evangelists, or pastors, or teachers. Take it out. Oh, the apostle was only for the early church. Man. You just would understand what apostle means. God selected certain people, so consecrated certain people to be his representatives among many nations. Go and make disciples to all the nations, teaching them. Do you think that we just would be waiting for the 12? Then we probably wouldn't ever got the Gospels. Because they all went with the Lord. So they passed it on to others. I was going to bring a shawl today to show you a physical way to prepare you. Or for you to prepare yourself. In the Jewish community, they bring the shawl. And you have to unfold it a certain way, like kind of what we do with the flag. And then you started asking for the blessing. You started to pray, do the prayer for God to bless the shawl. And then you put it on your head. And then you grab the two corners of the right and goes over. And you put it right here on your shoulder. And then you got the other two. standard. And then you start speaking the blessing of God. Oh, hear me, you Israel. Listen, the Lord is one. I was going to say it in Spanish. The Lord is one. Before they even open the Bible, there's a preparation that they have to do when they come to the pulpit. Why am I saying this? I wanted to bring that for one reason. Because you have to prepare yourself. You have to understand when you say, listen, O you Israel, the Lord is one, the Lord is God. See, you guys remember the scripture, right? In Deuteronomy 6. And he wants you to put the word because they put it on the shawl on the front. Same thing. They adorn themselves with that, proclaiming, like kind of like the same thing we do until the Lord comes. The Jewish people and us, we have no difference. In the way to present yourself, to prepare yourself to be in the presence of God, on the glory of God. Same thing. You are thankful because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He has given you the word of life. So that's why people shout on the synagogues. And then the brother goes and sits in the place who's going to be the Rabboni, is going to be speaking. He can't speak. But he has a bigger, they call it the tzitzit. A bigger cape, like kind of the one Joseph used to put on. Similar, in the same thing. Cover their heads because it's shameful for a man to be on the altar of the God without covering his head. In their tradition. What is the covering of the head?
Christ. Adonai, God, is your head. And you humble yourself before God.
That's why you see them on the wall, the whirling wall, doing this. I'm proclaiming and covering the same coverage or calling for the same coverage for us. Because God's compassion will never be broken. Doesn't matter what you do. Let's go really quick to Matthew. I have 2 minutes. Matthew 20, 29 to 34 is only like 6 verses. And I'm going to read again from the King James. Because I want you to understand that this series is about truly experiencing the compassion of God so that you can share the love of God with others and give it. You share and you give it. You share and you give it. You share and you give it. Why? Because when the Bible says that when you go to a house, brother and sister, and the people that opens the door, okay, doesn't welcome you, and you take peace with you. What does that mean? That you're not going to listen, okay, you get broken in the spirit, in a contrite heart, and pray for that person. You're not going to say, okay, the Lord bless you, keep you warm, and you know, He's coming and don't do nothing about it. That's not what the Bible teaches. You take your peace with you so that you can be reminded of the joy of your salvation so that when you pray for that one brother or sister that rejects you from the house or the visitation that you do, you want to go to their closet and you want to intercede with God. You want to pray for Zion for him to rise it up and to put those walls that the enemy will not come in. There are certain walls to build in the house of the Lord. So that any enemy will not come in. And that labor, remember, it was Ezra, but it needed a whole clan of Jewish people to come and build the house or the wall. So let's go to Matthew 20, 29 to 34. And it says, now as they went out to Jericho, hallelujah, a great multitude followed him. You guys remember the scripture of Jericho, right? There is walls to tear down, there is walls to build back up. I just want to stay there because I don't have much time. Behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they hear that Jesus was passing by, cry out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Sometimes we're blindfolded. We heard that God is coming. And sometimes all you have to do is cry out. Remind me of the joy of my salvation. Have mercy on us, God. I was about to sell you for 50 coins. I am so sorry. I was about to get my hatchet instead of the sword and chop down my brother. Forgive me, Lord. Listen what it says in here. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. Remember, people who was unclean with a disease were not allowed to be in the presence of the king. They were rejected. They had to go to certain ceremonies to wash and all this other crazy stuff before they even were allowed to be in the presence of the king. Remember the story of the son of Jonathan and King David, bring him. He's the last son of him, yes. He's crooked, it's okay, bring him. That's me. He brought me in. Whole, but not walking properly. Listen, that's how beautiful God's mercy is. The people that cry out to him is the religious folks. Who instead of bringing people unto God, they push them away from God. Listen, okay? It says in there, then the multitude want them and they should be quiet. And they say, you should be quiet. But they cry out all the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them. Hallelujah. I don't know how clear you see. My man, he's calling you. I don't know how you walk his. My man, he's crying out to you to come to him. To be reminded of the joy of your salvation. To be reminded when you were so broken. So that you will not be the judge. But understand who is the one who is just. Who is the one in control. Who is the one working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Who is God? Listen what it says in here. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, listen, okay, that our eyes might be open. Remember the scripture, the contents, the internal parts? What good is that you have eyes and you don't see the glory of God? You don't understand the compassion of God. The forgiveness of God, the love of God. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Lest they turn, and I will heal them. So much knowledge blindfolds people. Covers their eyes. They have eyes, but they do not see. They forgot about the good news of God and want to go up upon the justice of God, the righteousness of God, and make a damage unto the good news. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. You've been rejected, you cannot be in the king, you cannot go into the palace, into the holy of holy place. I'm the one who is holy. And I want to have compassion to whom I have compassion. And I want to judge whom I want to judge. I am He. That's what He cried out. That's what He declared. He is God. I read to you last week when I preached. For those ones who think that Christ is not God, I read it from the scriptures. He is God. Manifested on the flesh. It's not three different gods. It's one God. One faith. One baptism. See, one Lord. One. That's why the Jewish people says, Adonai Eloheinu, God is one. Or the Holy One. Kadosh Kata Adonai. It's not Kadesh, it's Kadosh. So beautiful. So compassionate. We cannot fathom the way that He loves us. Remember John chapter 3, verse 1? Just think about it. The Lord that He has lavished upon you and me. Yes. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they, listen, okay, they followed Him. Let Him open your eyes and receive His love. Let Him touch you. Let Him remind you of the day that you were saved, how broken you were, and remain on that state. So when you go out today, you share the same compassion and the same love with your co-workers, with your friends, with your family members, with whoever God placed in your path. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, please. Speak it. Listen, one of the verses when I first believed was this one. Because I believe, therefore I speak. I believe on this. I study the word. I blew my eyelashes. I was telling Matt, I wish I would not know what I know. Because I wouldn't hold myself this accountable. I would like, you know what, Lord, I didn't know that one. Forgive me. You know? Just think about it, you guys. How I want to leave you with these guys, you know. When you realize that perfection is coming, you remain unperfect and broken. What should we do? Continue sinning because the mercy, you know, multiplies, the grace of God because multiply? No. We're people with feelings and with a brain so that we understand. So when the understanding comes, you get broken again. And you get with a contrite heart. Again and again and again. And you let God be God. And you pray for your brothers and your sisters and your family members faithfully. Sometimes it's going to take a while before you take a harvest, and it's okay. Don't be, it's my money and I want it now. Listen what the scripture teaches at the appointed time. God is in control at the appointed time. He sent his only son to die for us. When it was the right time, he sent him. And he did it for you and me so that we can experience the fullness of the love of God, the compassion of God. See, listen, I leave you with this. Next time I come, read the book of Adiah. Please. It's only like 20 verses. Read it. Because next week I'm going to bring that book. That's the study that God gave me for me to share with you from that book. And try to go study to understand who is Edom. You'll see that it was Esau, the twin of Jacob. Study it. But I don't want you to see, okay, he hated that. It's in Malachi too. And even Paul quoted that too. Romans. Jacob I love, Isaac I hated. And other people trace upon the scriptures. How can God hate? No, you guys need to understand God select people for certain tasks. You think that he hated Judas? You guys know the scripture for God does not rejoice upon the death of the wicked. He doesn't. But make him pleasure upon the death of his saints. The death of his saints. Why? Because he's bringing them back to what it was in the beginning. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord, for today. We pray, Lord, as we stand before you, Lord, to close out today, Father God, that as we continue walking on this earth, God, walking in a way, Lord, that we want to obey you, that we want to please you, God, that we want to keep a step with your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that as we continue looking for the glory of God, Lord God, that you will just manifest it right into our eyes, Father, and see how beautiful and how wonderful and awesome you are. We're fragile, God. We're so quick to put things into matters upon our own ways, God. And I know, God, that you're touching the hearts of all of us, Lord, to just cling unto you, Lord, and let you be, God, the Savior of the world. So that others can come in and to be recognizing, Lord, that your sacrifice was good enough once and for all. That there is no more need for more sacrifices, for more blood to be poured out, Father God, but the blood of your only begotten Son that covers not only for our sins, but the sins of the entire planet. All your creation, Lord, have received and seen the glory of the Most High God. And I pray, Lord, as we continue walking with you, that you will remind us of that glorious day, Lord, when you came and fulfilled all things for the benefit and the good for each one of us, Lord. I praise you and I thank you and ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.